1 Samuel chapter number 23 tonight, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 23. I want to share with you something that's on my heart for the evening. And you pray that the Lord help me to do that. And I may read a lot of scripture and give you a lot of history tonight. You just hang in there. There is a point to the message. Amen. And you just pray for me tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. I want to try to share with you the thought tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. Let me read some scripture. We'll begin at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah. They robbed the threshing floors. And therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? The Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? David inquired of the Lord yet again. The Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." Is everybody with me? Does everybody understand what's happening here? David prayed. The Philistines was fighting against Keilah. They robbed the threshing floors. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and fight these Philistines?" The Lord said to David, "Go, smite these Philistines, and save Keilah." David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" And then again, David inquired of the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Then David inquired of the Lord yet again." The second time, prayed and asked the Lord. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will... deliver the Philistines into thy hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, he came down with ephod in his hand. It was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Saul said, "God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake." Notice what he says, verse 11, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. It was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, forbare to go forth. David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. I shall be next unto thee, that also Saul my father knoweth." They two made a covenant before the Lord. David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Go with me to verse number 23. The Bible says, "See, therefore, take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself." Saul is now speaking to his men. They're after David. Telling his men, "Go therefore and take knowledge of the lurking places where he hideth himself. Come ye again to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." Verse 25, "Saul also and his men went to seek him. They told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Man. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness." I'll stop reading right there for the sake of the message. I don't want to get too far down in the latter part of that. I want to save that for the punchline, if I may, or to the latter part of the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege tonight to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities, God, you've given us to come tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. I pray, God, that you would guard my lips now. Give me clarity of speech, clarity of thought. Help me, Lord, to say that needs to be said tonight. Help us, dear Father, we can leave this place tonight encouraged in the Lord. Father, we can say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that you'd help me tonight. Speak to hearts, Father, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We understand tonight as we look at the life of David. David was a man, the Bible teaches us, was a man after God's own heart. You know, I've preached several times on David. David's one of my biblical heroes. David was a man that loved the Lord, loved the precepts of God, loved the Word of God, the statutes of God, everything about God David loved. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. And we see as we study the Bible that God had ordained David to be king over Israel. He had already taken care of that in chapter, I believe, 16 of 1 Samuel. And he anointed David to be king over all of Israel. And we understand that when God does something, God keeps His promises. Amen? We understand tonight that whenever God says, this is what I'm going to do, you can take it all the way to the bank, honey. God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen? I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on the providence of God. Amen? On the providence of God. We understand tonight that David was a man that loved God, but God also loved David. And David here had fought many battles. We understand as a shepherd boy, he fought many battles. He fought the lions and fought the bears and he fought the giant there, the Philistine giant. We understand the history of David, how he fought many battles. But then we come down to where David had fought one great battle or several battles and he'd killed thousands upon thousands of people, 10,000s, I believe the song went, and only Saul had killed his thousands. And listen, Saul was jealous over David. Now, we understand that Saul being the king, and Saul was jealous over David and all the things that he had done, and God's hand was on David, amen, allowing him to do these things. And Saul became jealous, and of course, he wanted to take David's life. He began to pursue after David. He's going to take his life. We study through the Scriptures, you'll find that there's several places there where Saul has tried and attempted to take David's life. Even one time he threw a javelin at him and tried to hit him with it. And several other times he tried to take his life. We come to chapter 23 and Saul is still after David. Amen. He's still fighting. He's still battling for his life. But remember now, God had promised David he would be the king over Israel. I almost titled the message tonight, "It's Not Finished Until God's Finished." Amen. I almost titled it that. But listen, we see tonight in looking at these scriptures that David was fleeing for his life. And Saul was still after David and coming after David. But here is a passage of scripture that something has taken place. And I want to try to share it with you just a little bit tonight if I can. And looking in these scriptures, we see that David, he finds out or he hears that there's the Philistines are coming down to the place called Keilah. I may not pronounce that right, but I'm close. And we understand that being in Judah. And listen, they're coming down and they're beginning to attack the place. And now David could have very easily said, "Listen, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight those men and we're going to win the battle." But David didn't do that. A lot of times people do things in the flesh. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, David is he's getting word now that the Philistines, they fight against Keilah in verse number 1. They begin to rob the threshing floors there, they say. And it was a time of harvest and these Philistines are coming in and they're stealing the things that don't belong to them. And it could very easily, as I said, David could have very easily in his flesh could have went out and could have attacked and took his men with him and said, "Hey, we're going to go fight these Philistines and we're going to win this battle because, hey, I'm David, I can do this thing." But he didn't do that. Amen. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord in verse number 2 and said, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" Now, David was a man of God, a man that loved God, and David began to inquire of the Lord. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, notice what takes place as David inquires of the Lord. Now, no doubt David is disturbed. He's bothered by what's taking place in Keilah. They're there, the Philistines. They're stealing and they're robbing the threshing floors, as the Bible says. And David's upset. He's angry at this, and he wants to, in his flesh, run down and take care of business and try to fight them. But he could very easily lose that battle, amen, and get himself into more trouble than what it's worth. So he goes to the Lord and he asks the Lord. And boy, what a great lesson we can learn from that. Amen. Whenever things don't go right and we see something going wrong, and instead of butting our nose in where it don't belong, it'd be good to just inquire of the Lord. Amen. Lord, shall I go and try to help them? And Lord, shall I go and try to help my brother? Shall I do this? And ask the Lord what He would have us to do. Good lesson in that. Amen. But we see that David began to pray and inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save the Keilah." Now God had given him permission. God said, yes, David, you go down and you smite those Philistines and you save that town. And David, you go down there and you do this thing because this is the will of God. This is what God wanted in David's life. Now listen, as we unfold this account of the Bible, it doesn't seem like David was in the will of God. But as you look at the onset of this, David was right where God wanted him. Amen? David was right where he was supposed to be, in the middle of the will of God. We've talked about the will of God the other week. And sometimes being in the middle of the will of God, it don't seem like you're in the will of God. Amen? You have to inquire of the Lord. And so David had done that. He knew that God had given him permission. And David's men said unto him in verse number 3, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Hey, they was upset. Said, David, I don't know. I don't know if this was right or not. And David said, hey, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to the Lord and I'll inquire one more time. And he goes in verse number 4 and inquires of the Lord. The Bible says, yet again. And the Lord the second time answers him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. David's got God's permission. Amen. David's going to do what God has told him to do and allowed him to do. He wanted to go. It was his desire to help this town that was being attacked. And he wanted to go down there and do that. And he had to inquire of the Lord to see if that was God's will. Sometimes we make haste decisions. Sometimes we make bad decisions in haste because things are not going the way we think they ought to go. That's another message right there. That's good preaching. Amen. It's good to always inquire of the Lord and pray before you leap. Amen. Ask the Lord, shall I do this or shall I not do this? And sometimes we get ourselves in such a way, especially when we get on the new car lot. Somebody say amen right there. And we'll buy and sign on that dotted line and never talk to the Lord about it. Amen. Well, it must have been the Lord's will because I got it. Well, it could have absolutely not been the Lord's will for you to get it. That was your flesh that desired that and not God desired that for your life. Amen. There's a lot of good preaching right there also. I'm not going to go there either. But we have to understand tonight, and whenever it comes to knowing the will of God, it is good to pray and ask Him what He would have us to do in everything that we do. The Bible says in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Amen. And so whenever it comes to making decisions, whatever decision it is, we ought to inquire of the Lord. David does that very thing, and David asks the Lord. He asked Him the second time because the men were a little nervous. They didn't know about fighting this battle. Boy, this seems like something we might not ought to be doing. And so they go in and they say, David, hey, I don't know about this. And David said, listen, guys, the Lord said, let's go. So rise up, let's go. So they take off and they go down. And then the Bible says in verse number 5, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought against the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. God had delivered them. Amen. God allowed them to smite the Philistines, take away their cattle. And the Bible says in verse 5, so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now stay with me tonight. I know this may seem boring to you, but we're going somewhere, I promise. I always try to take you somewhere through the Bible. Amen. But here we see that David, he saw what was going on in Keilah, the attack that was going on, the Philistines coming in, and he inquired of the Lord, should he go down and fight for them? And the Lord said, yes, David, go down and fight for them and save that little town, Keilah. Look, you go down there and you fight those Philistines and you help them because they need help. And so David does. He takes his men and they go down and they fight the battle. They win the battle. Amen. The Lord gave the Philistines into their hand as God had promised. Hey, write this down somewhere in the fly leaf of your Bible. If God promises it, honey, God will deliver. Amen. If God promises that God will deliver, and God had promised David He would deliver those Philistines into his hand. Now, David and his men, they went down and they smote them and they fought them. And David saved, the Bible says, the inhabitants of Keilah. But remember now that David has been chased by Saul. David's life is still on the line. David's fighting many battles himself. He's trying to flee from the enemy. David's got a lot on his plate. God has ordained him to be king over Israel. David's got so many things going on. He's trying to flee from Saul. He had to inquire of the Lord. Stay with me now. Had he not inquired of the Lord about going to Keilah, it could have very easily been that Saul would have been down there, and David could have been in so much trouble if he had not inquired of the Lord. I believe it's the providential hand of God, amen, that keeps us out of a lot of trouble, amen. But David is still fighting for his life, and he's still running and trying to stay away from Saul. Saul still wanting to take his life. He still hates David and wants to kill him and take him out. The history here, as we begin to read this and try to get an understanding, hey, David says, hey, listen, this is a great thing. We've won this battle. The Lord delivered the Philistines into our hand. And it came to pass in verse number 6, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Now I begin to look at that verse of Scripture and think, what in the world are they doing? What are they doing to David? David was a man after God's own heart, a man that loved the Lord, a warrior, a great fighter. And he comes on the scene there to help those inhabitants of Keilah. They're under attack of the Philistines. They're about to lose everything they've got. That David is granted permission by the Lord to go down there to fight the battle. And he wins the battle. But then we find that some of them in Keilah go running to Saul to tell Saul where David's at. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes the ones you help the most are the ones that hurt you the most. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Amen. But listen, David had helped him, and now they're fleeing and they're going down to Saul. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Hey, listen, it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David in Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul, that's all the Bible says, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand. Now, I don't believe that, and neither do you. Amen. Saul was not a godly man. He was against God, been rejecting God's word. He was chasing God's man to take his life. And listen, God here had not delivered David into Saul's hand. But Saul said that and said that David had been delivered in his hand, for he's shut in. He's entered into a town that has gates and bars. And hey, listen, there's no way out. Saul thought, hey, buddy, I've got him this time. Hey, I've got word. He's down there in that little town, and there's gates and bars around that town. There's no escape for David. So he gathers up, the Bible says in verse 8, gathered all the people together to war to go down to Keilah. And what's he going to do? The Bible says to besiege David and his men. The battle's on. David's down there. Here comes Saul. Saul thinks he's coming in unannounced. Think nobody knows what's happening. And David, the Bible says, knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him and said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. And David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Now the Bible doesn't tell us how David found that out. The Bible doesn't tell us how Saul found out that David was there. But we do understand in the Scriptures that Saul found out about David being there, and David knew that Saul was coming to try to take him. All right? And so David once again begins to pray. Hallelujah for prayer. Amen. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for a man that'll pray. He's in trouble and he sees things fixing to unfold. And he says, oh, Lord God of Israel, thy servant certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Now watch this now. In verse number 11, remember now that David has come to Keilah to help them fight against the Philistines. This was an army that they couldn't fight against. There's probably no way they could have won against that army unless the providential hand of God was on the scene, and which it was, but it was only through David. And David comes in to help them. And the Bible says David is talking to the Lord. He's praying in verse 11. And he asks the Lord, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? With these men that I've helped, that I've fought the battle for, I saved their town, I saved their food, I saved their city. With these men, will they turn me over to Saul? The Bible says in verse 11, will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will these men, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? These men that I've helped, these ones that I love because they're part of my community, they're part of my town, these men that I've helped, will they turn on me and will they tell Saul that I'm here? And the Bible says, they will deliver thee up. They will deliver thee up. Let me say something to every one of us tonight. This is not my message, but this is good preaching. Hey, listen, those that we that we spend most of our time with, those that we try to help the most, will be the very ones that turn against us. Amen? They'll be the very ones to hurt us the most. We give them the most. We try the hardest to help them. They'll be the very ones to stand against us and to turn on us when we need them the most. Amen? This is a time in David's life. He needed those men of Keilah to be behind him, to keep his secret, not to rat him out, but listen, to keep him hid, to help him to run from Saul to save his life. So he begins to inquire, and the Lord said, "Those men, they will deliver thee up to Saul." David said unto his men, verse 13, which were about 600, they rose and departed out of Keilah, went whithersoever they could. It was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah. He forbore to go forth. David had helped him in their community, helped him to win the battle, and they turn on David and they tell Saul where David is at. And then they even tell Saul that David had left, and the Bible says that he didn't come forth. David abode, the Bible says, in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in the mountains of the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every single day. Hey, in the midst of all the problems and difficulties in David's life, he stopped and tried to help somebody along the way. He stopped in the middle of all the things in his life that was going on, put all that to the side and inquired of the Lord because somebody needed some help. And he stood out there and he helped him. He poured his heart out, his life out, brought his men, did all that they could, and then they turned on him when he needed them the most. Boy, there's a whole lot of preaching right there. Amen. That's what people will do to you. They'll turn on you when you need them the most. The ones that you help the most, the ones that you put so much into, they'll turn on you. Be careful, amen. Careful. Better inquire of the Lord. Make sure it's the will of God. What was going on in David's life? Remember, David was right in the middle of the will of God. Well, you mean it's the will of God for those men to turn on David? Absolutely. Absolutely. David was right in the middle of the will of God. It looked like that David was out of the will of God. These men are turning against him. These men are coming after him. They're telling Saul where David is. Hey, listen, these men that he helped, it looked like maybe David's just out of the will of God. But David wasn't. He was right in the middle where God wanted him. Sometimes the struggles we go through, the problems we go through, it's all a part of the providential hand of God. It's part of the training that God helps us with. Amen. God puts us through things to train us, to make us better and not bitter. I've preached that before. I'll still preach it. Amen. David abode in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand by God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee." Hey, Jonathan came out to just to assure David of this one thing. God has ordained thee to be king. Hey, listen, when God makes a promise, God keeps His promise. David, I know you're fighting a battle. David, I know that you're going through a hard time in your life. And David, I know that this thing looks bad, man. On the outside, it looks terrible. These men have turned against you. You've helped them. You've done all you could to help them. They turned on you. I just want you to know that my father Saul shall not take your life. He won't find you, David. It ain't finished till God says it's finished. Boy, I feel like running a lap right there. Amen. It ain't finished until God says it's finished. Amen. If God made the promises, honey, you mark her down. It's not going to be over with until God says it's over with. Man, we ought to hold our head up high tonight and walk around proud tonight and walk around with confidence that we know what God said in His Word. And no matter what happens to the United States of America, no matter what happens in the presidency of the United States, no matter what happens in churches across the world, honey, it ain't over with until God says it's over. Amen. Can nobody take our life? Can nobody do that? God is the giver of life, and He is also the taker of life. Till God says you're done, honey, you're not finished. Thinking about that the other night, Brother Roller was testifying how he was there in the hospital. They done gave him up for dead. Said, "Hey, he's gone. Hey, but honey, it ain't over with when God says it's over." Amen. See that David's life here was encouraged by Saul's son, Jonathan. He comes on the scene. He says, "Hey, David, fear not. Hey, fear not. The hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel." God made a promise, David. God's going to keep it. Amen. Hey, listen, God's made a promise to His children. Amen. And He's going to keep His promise. Somebody say amen right there. God's made promises to His children, and God's going to keep His promises. God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Doesn't matter what kind of battle we're facing. Doesn't matter who turns against us. Doesn't matter what anybody says. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. It's a promise we can count on. Amen. We understand tonight that David was fighting so many battles in his own life personally. He was fleeing for his own life, and he was fleeing from Saul, and then he's fleeing from these men who ratted him out. He tried to help them. They ratted him out. Man, they hadn't been really a good friend to David. Then comes Saul. I mean, Jonathan, Saul's son, comes on the scene and just gives a little encouraging word. Boy, it's good every once in a while in the midst of battle to have an encouraging word. Amen. It's good to know that God's still on the throne. Amen. Just every once in a while just to get an encouraging word. I was thinking about it this afternoon. I was studying and praying for the message tonight. I said, God, you know, just every once in a while it's good just to have an encouraging word. Amen. I preached this morning on what love does, and I thought about several different things this afternoon that could kind of tie in with that. I said, God, it sure would be good just to give an encouraging word. And boy, I got one this evening. Sitting there around the Bible, and I began to read this account of David, and I seen where Saul there was after David and all the things in David's life. Then Jonathan comes on the scene just to bring him an encouraging word. Amen. Amen. Thank God for those that will be an encouragement. Amen. Amen. Listen, it don't stop there. The count goes on. Jonathan comes on the scene, says, hey, David, Daddy ain't going to mess with you. He ain't going to find you. Thou shalt be king over Israel. God done made a promise. I shall be the next unto thee. And so my father knoweth. The Bible says that they too made a covenant before the Lord. David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. We come to verse number 23 of chapter 23. We see therefore Saul had been telling his men, hey, go find out where David's at. Hey, go find out where he's lurking at. Take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come unto again to me and let me know, and bring with thee, or bring to me with certainty. I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Saul hadn't let up. Amen. Although, let me say this tonight. Although we get an encouraging word from the Lord, that doesn't mean that the enemy has quit. Amen. That doesn't mean he's let up and he's quit, that he ain't going to pursue us anymore. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And listen, he wants to devour every one of God's children. He wants to discourage us and get us to quit throwing the towel and quit on God. But when someone comes along with an encouraging word, that's wonderful, but don't think that the devil has quit pursuing after us. Amen. Saul here was continued to pursue after David. He says, hey, you go out into the wilderness and you go to all them places where you think he might be hidden. You come let me know and we'll go out there. We'll go out and we'll find him. We'll search this thing out. We'll go throughout all the thousands of Judah until we find him. They arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Man. Verse 25, the Bible says, and Saul also and his men went to seek him. They told David, wherefore he came down into the rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. Saul heard that. He pursued. Watch this now. He pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. Now get this picture in mind, if you would. David is fleeing once again for his life. Saul is still pursuing after him. He's heard where David's at. These men have went out. They've found where David's lurking and the hiding place that David is at. And Saul and his men take off after David. And the Bible says here that David is going around this side of the mountain, and Saul is going around this side of the mountain. And it looks like, as you read that, that David's encounter with Saul is fixing to come to an end. It looks like David is fixing to lose his life. It looks like, as we read those verses of Scripture, that maybe David is out of the will of God and Saul's going to get him. But I want to remind you tonight as we read this, that David is right in the center of the will of God. He's right where God wants him, right where God told him to be. Amen. And listen, whenever things look dim and things look terrible, even though you're in the middle of the will of God, don't lose hope. Amen. Hang in there. God's still on the throne. God's still working. God's working miracles that we know nothing about. begin to read this and we see that Saul's going around on this side of the mountain and David's on the other side and his men on the other side of the mountain. And you know as well as I do, those sides of the mountains are going to run out sooner or later. Amen? And those men are going to come together. And it looks like David's life is fixing to come to an end. It looks like everything that David has run from, everything David has worked for, it looks like it's all coming to an end. Saul and his men's going to come around. They're going to meet David and his men. And it's a very good possibility that David's fixing to lose his life. Remember with me tonight that David was a man after God's own heart, that inquired of the Lord, that loved God, that trusted the Lord. Boy, there's a lot of good preaching in that. He loved the Lord. He stood on the Word of God. He trusted God. And God had said, David, you go. David, I'll protect you. David, I'll be with you all the way. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you just go and I'll protect you and I'll be with you. And David, you just trust me. Tells us the very same thing, does it not? Amen. This might not be doing much for y'all, but it's a helping the mess out of me. Hey, listen, it looked like David's life was fixing to come to an end. Those men of war from Saul and his men coming around this side of the mountain and David and his men on this side of the mountain, they're fixing to meet in the middle and it looks like this all going to finally be over with. But God. I love it when God butts in. Amen. When life looks like it's coming to an end, when things look like they're fixing to just explode, I love it when God butts in. Amen. Look what happens in your Bibles. The Bible says Saul went on, verse 26, Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain, and David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. Saul and his men come past David and his men round about to take them. They're fixing to take them. They're coming close. Hey, they're getting on the, I believe, Brother Clinton, I believe it was on the far end of that mountain. I don't believe it was at the beginning of the mountain. I believe it was on the far end of the mountain. Sometimes God don't work until the waters are troubled. Amen. I believe it was on the far end of that mountain. They're fixing to compass him. They're fixing to take them. And God moves in. And the Bible says in verse 27, but there came a messenger unto Saul. Hallelujah. God butted in right there. And the messenger came to Saul and said, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. I want you to see here is the providential hand of God. It looked like everything was fixing to fall apart. David's about to lose the final battle of his life. It looked like his men were going to be slain. And everything was going to be over with for David. But God. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground tonight. Amen. But God. When things look terrible, things look bad, and it looks like nothing's going to worked out. But God, amen. I'm glad when he butts in and does things that we don't know he's going to do. Hey, David didn't know that God was going to send a messenger. Hey, I bet you even the messenger didn't know that God was going to send him. Amen. Was David out of the will of God? Absolutely not. David's right in the middle of God's will, and David was following what God wanted him to do, and God providentially worked in David's life and sent a messenger in there to tell Saul, hey, Saul, listen, the Philistines are fighting back there. They're invading the home land. Saul, you're needed back this way. Don't go around the rest of that mountain, Saul. Hey, you come back. The Philistines are invading the land. Man, we need you back here. Hey, man, and the Bible teaches us that David was able to flee and to get away. And listen, verse 28, the Bible says, wherefore Saul returned from the pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Amen. Saul stopped his pursuing and went back to the land where the Philistines were battling and invading the land. That, my friend, tonight is the providential hand of God. The Bible teaches us to always make sure that we know the perfect will of God. Amen. When it comes time to make decisions, seek the Lord. Inquire of God. Ask the Lord. If you don't have assurance of that, you go back again and you stay on your knees until you get clear communication from the Lord that that's what He wants you to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Always know what God's will is for your life. It's not a hard thing, but you can't jump out in your flesh and try to make decisions. You've got to inquire of the Lord and spend time on your knees and in the Word of God and ask God what He would have you to do. So many times people fail They start out in something and they think, this is what God wants me to do. I had someone send me a message the other day and said, this is what God wants me to do. And I know myself by the life that they live, that is absolutely not what God wants them to do. I know that. I know that because of their character, because of who they are, their integrity. That is not what God wants them to do. They're so far away from God, they wouldn't know God if He did speak to them. Amen? I say that lovingly, but there's people that they're like that. They say, this is what God wants me to do. And God's not 100 miles in some of that stuff. They'll go out and they'll try to do it. They'll make a mess out of things. And before long, they're hurt and they're discouraged. And the devil chews them up and they're out of church and out of the ministry and everything else.
Amen.
Teaching us a lesson tonight to always seek the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. And even though it may be something that seems to be difficult, and although there may be troubles and trials that comes along with it, it doesn't necessarily mean we're out of the will of God. Amen? Are y'all with me? If God tells us here at Heritage Baptist Church, if God tells us to do something, and we know for sure that's what God wants us to do, whenever we start to build, we start to grow, we start to build, and we want to do something for the Lord, and we inquire of the Lord, we all agree this is what God wants us to do, and we start doing that thing, we start building. I'm just going to use this as an example. Maybe we start building on to the back, build us a foyer or something like that. We begin to do that. Don't you think for 1 minute the devil's going to leave us alone. Amen. Don't think for 1 minute that the devil's not going to fight us. And the enemy's still going to pursue us even though we're doing the will of God. Amen. In your life, the devil will continue to pursue you and to try to stop you and discourage you even though you're in the middle of God's will. I don't know if that's happened to y'all or not, but it's happened to me. Sometimes whenever we think that things are going wrong, it's always those brethren that pat you on the back and tell you you need to get right with God. Amen. I had some of those before in my ministry. Things was not going the way I thought they should. And I knew I was right where God wanted me. I knew that. I had deep settled peace in my soul. I was where God wanted me to be. I knew that. Things wasn't going well. Financially was struggling. My family was struggling. It seemed like everything around us was falling apart. I had 2 or 3 wrecks. And listen, every time I'd get one fixed and somebody bang into that one, tear it all to pieces, and I get another one, somebody bang into that, tear it all to pieces. And it looked like I was so far away from God that everything was falling apart. But I wasn't. I knew in my heart, and my wife will testify, I knew and she knew we was right where God wanted us. Why did God allow those things to happen? It wasn't to make us bitter, but it was to make us better, and it was to help us grow in the Lord and understanding that being in the will of God is not always a glamorous thing. Boy, that's good preaching right there, ain't it? Being in the will of God is not always a glamorous or glorious thing. You're still going to face the enemy. We face him every single day of our life. Just because we're in the middle of the will of God does not mean he's going to quit on it. He'll still pursue, still chase after us. I have a whole bunch of notes up here that I hadn't read the first one. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil is a liar and he's a murderer. Amen. For a Christian who's in the center of God's will, rest assured that the enemy is still trying to stop you. Amen. He's still trying to stop you. The thief has come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10. He's come not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yet we learn from David that all the demons in hell cannot stop or kill a child of God who is right with God until God is finished with him. David would be the king over Israel. God already said, David, you're going to be king. Hey, listen, no matter the battles we face, no matter the struggles we face, it's not over till God says it's over. We're not finished with this thing until God says we're done. Amen. In the middle of the will of God, there's battles. There's all kinds of things to face. There's struggles. There's persecution on every hand. The devil pursues. The devil tries to discourage. The devil tries to get... Hey, listen, I got this morning. I was excited. I get to go to church today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's Sunday. I missed Thursday night. And I listened to some good preaching. Amen. I got sermon audio. Hallelujah. And it's good preaching on sermon audio. Go on there and check it out. Sermonaudio.com. Heritage Baptist Church, Randall, North Carolina. Anyway, there's good preaching on there. And I was listening to some preaching. Anyway, I was excited about coming to church this morning. And I got prepared. I knew my friend was coming. And I called him at 9 o'clock. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, you up? You ready? He said, yeah, man, I'm ready. Boy, I just excited the mess out of me. I was on fire. But God done give me a message. My friend's coming to church. It's my birthday. And my wife loves me. And my kids love me. Amen. Man, it's going to be a great day. Right in the middle of God's will. Amen. I'm so excited. Then somebody sends me a text and says, hey, I ain't going to be there. And man, they just kind of let the air out of me just a little bit. I thought, man, what in the world is that about? Then they began to give me their excuses for why they wasn't coming. I said, do you know what the day is? I was trying to be sweet in my text. Do you know what the day is? Yeah, happy birthday, old man. Now I'm mad. I was just kidding. I wasn't mad. Listen, they began to give me their excuse, and it kind of discouraged me. And then I talked to Brother Clinton, and little Noah was sick. Man, that just let me down. I was just let the air out a little bit more. Little Noah was sick. Man, I felt so sorry for that little feller. And Clinton was telling me he'd been sick all morning, and he wasn't going to get to come. He had to stay on. And that just kind of discouraged me, you know. Hey, it's going to be a good day. I don't care what you say, devil. It's going to be a good day. Amen. Even though I got up and I felt good and I was looking forward to coming to church, the devil didn't cease to try to discourage me coming to church this morning. He tries to do that every time we do anything for the Lord. He wants to discourage us. Been very easy for me to say, you know what, honey? I could have said, honey, I'm just going to stay home today. I don't think nobody's going to be at church and nobody don't really care about me. And the devil says that I'm just an old loser, and I know that's true. I believe I'll just stay home. I could have been a woe is me kind of guy. That's exactly right. I'm surprised. Yeah, that's right. I could play that fiddle, you know. Woe is me. Hey, but listen, the devil tried to discourage me, but I told him, take a hike, buzzard. Hey, man, I'm going to have a good day anyway, whether you like it or not. The devil tries to discourage us and get us down. He doesn't quit because we're in the middle of God's will. He doesn't quit. He does not let up. So listen, if you're doing what is right, if you're in the middle of God's will, and you're serving the Lord, and you know you're where God wants you, don't you get discouraged because trouble's come. Don't you get discouraged because trouble's come. They're going to come. Amen. The devil's not going to let up. There's going to be problems. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be tongues. And somebody's going to say something to discourage you and get you upset. Amen. Don't wear it up there. Amen. Keep your feelings off your shoulders. Hey, listen, whenever things begin to go wrong or seem to be everything's falling apart and everything's so negative, I hate those negative days. Yeah. Amen. I hate that. But you know what I'm saying? You're with me, right? Yeah. Y'all feel that way? Y'all charged up and then on Monday morning somebody puts your fire out.
Yeah.
Try to. Man, I can't wait till Thursday night. God, I need to meet with you again tonight. Please.
Amen.
Let somebody shout tonight when we get to church. Let somebody sing a song that just brings the glory down. Amen. We need that. What I want you to understand tonight is the providential hand of God. Even though it may look dim to us, it may look discouraging to us, the enemy's come around the other side of that mountain. We're almost to the point of breaking. The providential hand of God is always there. God's going to butt in. Don't you worry about that. Amen. But God. God sent a messenger. God stopped what seemed to be destruction. God moved in and stopped it. His providential hand. God said, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm always there with you. You are never alone. Can y'all get a hold of that? Can y'all grasp the reality of that? You, by yourself, are never alone. I stayed in a motel all last week by myself. And the whole time I was there, I was thinking, I'm not by myself. And I began to talk to the Lord. Said, Lord, I sure do appreciate you being with me tonight. Lord, you want some ice cream? That's exactly right. I was by myself. We got some ice cream. Amen. But it seemed like, you know, when you're by yourself. Brother Fred, sometimes I have a hard time getting a hold of that. I'm not really alone.
Amen.
Although I may feel lonely, I'm still not alone. He said, I'll always be there. Now, although the enemy may try to destroy and take us out of the picture, he can't do nothing that God don't let him do. It's not over. God says it's over. Whoop! That's encouraging. That's encouraging. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen. There may be battles to face and battles to fight. Amen. And they are. There are plenty of those. We put on that to armor of God, the whole armor of God, and we go out and we fight our battles. Amen. And we as a church fight our battles together. Amen. We work together, pull together, fight the enemy together. Amen. We fight those battles. Amen. Every single day. Because the enemy, the Bible says that Saul was after David every day. That was his enemy. And the devil's after us every single day, even on Sunday. Every day he's after us. Just because you come to church today twice, don't think he's going to leave you alone. Well, the devil won't bother me today. I've been to church. The enemy chases David every day. He chases us every day. I hope this is an encouragement to you. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen. If you're in the middle of the will of God, and you're doing what God wants you to do, hold your head up high. Be encouraged tonight. You're not alone. The devil, the enemy cannot destroy you. He cannot destroy you. Are y'all getting a hold of that right there? That's good stuff. The devil cannot destroy you or touch you unless God gives him permission. And it's not over unless he says it's over. I don't know if I can say that enough. I think I'm just going to stand here for about 30 minutes and just say that. It's not over till God says it's over. It's good stuff, isn't it?